Brethren, I ask you to turn with me again in your Bibles to that chapter we have read from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 18, a well-known parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with our Bibles open now, let's pray for the help and the speaking voice of the Lord Himself. Our gracious God, we thank Thee now for the privilege of coming to Thy precious Word. We thank Thee that there is no Word like the Word of God. There is no message like the message of the Gospel. And we pray that tonight Thou wilt bring Thy Word to every heart in the power of the Divine Author Himself. And we ask that Thou wilt be pleased to use Thy Word in the salvation of precious souls, for whom the Savior bled and for whom the Savior died. Remember Thine own dear children here. We ask that You'll encourage them in these days. We thank Thee for the encouragements that Thou art giving to them. And we pray that Thou'll continue to undertake for them. And we pray that, gracious God, across the land again, there shall be the sound of abundance of spiritual rain. Let it come. O Lord, we pray Thee, let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting. O God, we are expecting. Come, we pray, and revive and refresh the hearts of all. Hear this, our plea. Help us to make much of the Lord Jesus, exalt His name and His work, for we ask it in the dear Savior's name and for His sake. Amen. Very simply tonight, we want to consider this parable of the Lord Jesus, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. This parable of the Lord Jesus is an illustration of a good man who was lost and a bad man who was saved. Notice that it is the good man who was lost and that good man was the Pharisee, not accepted of God. And it is the bad man, the publican, who was saved and who went down to his house justified and accepted of God. Verse 14 of this 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. An approach to this parable along this line will certainly enable us to emphasize the great biblical doctrine of justification by grace and through faith in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses 9 through 14 reveal the tremendous contrast between the two men described. You have on the one hand the proud, the haughty Pharisee who despised everybody and who thought so much of himself. And then you have the poor and humble publican who felt too unworthy to lift up even so much as his eyes to heaven. What a contrast the Lord sets before us here in this parable. And tonight, I want for us to ask the question, why was the Pharisee lost? And why was the publican saved? Well, may the Lord, as we consider this matter, may the Lord help us to make much of Christ and be pleased to bring lost sinners savingly to Himself. If need be, we trust God will turn any Pharisees amongst us into publicans and save them by His grace. First of all, then, why was the Pharisee lost? Why was he not accepted by God? Why did he return to his house condemned? Well, the Pharisee was lost because he trusted in religion to save him. The Pharisees were the strictest and most religious sect among the Jews, but with many of them, religion was but an outward show, leaving the heart and life utterly and completely untouched. They were far more particular about the outward show than about the condition of their hearts. The Pharisee in the parable is typical of every Pharisee who regularly visited the temple during the days of the Lord Jesus, who, though so religious, the Pharisees were in reality far, far from God. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? They drew nigh to the Lord with their lips. It was lip service. But their hearts were far from Him. I wonder, is there anyone in this meeting tonight in that condition of heart and mind? You're singing the hymns. You're drawing near to God with your lips. But your heart is far from God. And the Lord sees beyond the lips and right into the confines and recesses of the human heart. How amazing that we actually read that this man prayed. Prayed with himself, verse number 11. The Pharisee stood, didn't kneel, he stood, and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. That's quite a prayer. And how amazing that we actually read that this man prayed with himself. This Pharisee, of course, has a great many modern descendants. They're still to be found. There are multitudes of people today in this little province who are trusting in religion to save them. But since there is absolutely no religion that can bring salvation, they are seeking in vain. And how sad that is. Today in our village has been described by some as Cemetery Sunday. The Roman Catholics were even parked on our own car park, I understand, in Rishargan. So many had gathered to go through the graveyard and to offer prayers for the dead, seeking to lessen the time of their loved ones in purgatory. How sad. Seeking salvation in religion. But there are many non-papists, and they're doing just the same thing. We think of many Protestant circles, and thousands in this province alone are seeking to be saved, trusting in religion to save their souls. There are multitudes who are seeking salvation there. But there is absolutely no salvation in religion. There is no salvation in Hinduism. There's no salvation in Christian Science. I received some literature across my desk recently coming from a Christian Science source. But there's no salvation there. There's no salvation in Roman Catholicism. There's no salvation in Judaism. There's no salvation in Protestantism. There is only salvation to be found, never in a system, never in a religion, but only and always in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to say to you tonight, there's a great treasure to be found on the piano bench, would you go up into the balcony, finding, seeking it? Would you go into the prayer room? Would you go into the minister's room? Would you go into the Sunday school rooms? No, you would make a beeline for the piano bench and find the treasure there. And I want to tell you tonight, the only place where you're going to find the riches of God's salvation, those unsearchable riches, is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, save the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation can never be found in a system or in religion, only in the person of Christ. And then the Pharisee was lost because he trusted in his, what he deemed to be his good character to save him. He thought he was a very upright and moral individual. He didn't go to the pubs like the publican. He went to the temple. And he was trusting undoubtedly in his good character, in his so-called prayer. He stated quite clearly that he thought himself to be a fine and a moral man. There's nothing wrong with uprightness. There's nothing wrong with morality of life so long as you're not trusting in that to merit for you acceptance with God. But he lived, and commendably so, we would suspect, a good, a clean, an upright life. Verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And those words undoubtedly were true. He was not an extortioner. He was not unjust or an adulterer, but for all that, he was lost. Because a man's good character can never save him. Isn't that what the Bible says? By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you and I could live a perfect life from here on in, and if our sins could be blotted out, our past sins, we would still be lost. And we would still be rejected by God, because there's only one way to be justified. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not by morality or by good living. If anybody hearing these words tonight thinks that he or she is good enough to merit acceptance with God, what does the prophet Isaiah say? That all our righteousness, that is to say, man at his best, the most religious of men, and man in his religious service and his best, all our righteousnesses in the view of God are as filthy rags. That's how God sees the individual outside of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, dear friend, whatever you do, make sure you do not trust in yourself. That was the whole purpose for which the Lord Jesus uttered these words. Verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And the Lord issued this parable, that they and their descendants might not trust in themselves for salvation. If you do so, dear friend, you're doomed. Doomed to everlasting failure. And then the Pharisee was lost because he trusted in religious observances and rites and ceremonies to save him. Verse number 12. I fast twice in the week. I wonder how many of us fast twice in a week. But this man could say, the Lord didn't say he was lying. He fasted twice in the week. And we are reminded that multitudes of people are trusting in their baptism, or in their christening, or in their confirmation, or in their attendance at the Lord's house, or their giving in to the house of God, for their acceptance before God. But there is absolutely no salvation to be found in religious observances. These things can never justify a soul before a holy God who demands perfect, complete obedience to the law of God. And then the Pharisee was lost because he trusted in his good deeds to save him. Again, verse number 12. He could say, I give tithes of all that I possess. He was congratulating himself. He was patting himself on the back. Notice the emphasis on I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This man was taken up with himself. And he reminds us of those described by the Apostle Paul who, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have rejected the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But however hard we work, however long we work, and however much good we do, all this effort can never, never save us. Salvation isn't by effort, at least our own. It's by resting in the effort of Christ. It's by resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, are you like the Pharisee? Are you lost this evening and lost for the reasons that we have just considered? Am I speaking to a Pharisee here tonight, trusting in themselves for salvation? Dear friend, you'll never desire to be found. You'll never desire to be saved until first of all you realize you're lost. It wasn't that long ago that I was in Tullymore Forest. I love the forest. My father was a forester, and maybe some of that love was passed on down to me. I love to get into the forest and walk through the trees. But I was so busy looking at the trees that I lost my way. And I discovered that the path that I was once on, I had left far, far behind. And to make matters worse, I had to preach in the evening time at one of our churches. And I thought, this will be a scene. Sending out a search party for the preacher and lost in the midst of Tullymore Forest. Well, eventually the light went on. I was lost. I had absolutely no concern about my time in Tullymore Forest until I realized I had lost my way. And when I realized that, I began to pray. And everything by prayer. And I asked the Lord for help. And help was given. But I would never have prayed. I would never have sought the Lord until I realized I was lost. And that's the same way with the sinner. You'll never seek Christ and you'll never seek His salvation until first of all you recognize and realize that you're lost, utterly, hopelessly lost before God. If I were to say to you about a man in the forest, sticking with this theme of the forest. A man in the forest and he's lost. What chance does he have, humanly speaking, of ever getting out of the forest? If I were to say to you, well, not only is the man lost, but he's blind. What chance then do you think would he have of getting out of the forest? And then if I were to say to you furthermore, this man is dead. What do you think then would be his chances of saving himself and getting himself out of the forest? You see, that's how the Bible represents the sinner, lost and blind and dead. And until you're brought to that realization by the grace of God, you'll never seek the salvation that God alone finds for those outside of His Son, seeking salvation alone in Him. And then, secondly, we want to ask the question, why was the publican saved? We've considered why the Pharisee was lost, why he went down to his house condemned, but we want to consider now, why was this publican saved? Why was he accepted of God? Well, the publican was saved because he took his place before God as a lost sinner. Look at verse number 13. Literally, he was praying, I am the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. This is the spirit of his prayer. I am the sinner, the only one, as far as I'm concerned. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul thought of himself? He considered himself to be the chief of sinners. This is the prayer that God hears. God didn't hear the prayer of that proud Pharisee. But he was quick to hear the prayer of this humble publican. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Do you know, it is the hardest thing, and Christians here will know this, especially those who seek to reach the lost for Christ. It is the hardest thing in the world to get men and women to admit that they are guilty lost sinners before God. Isn't that true? But no one can ever gain God's acceptance into the kingdom of God until they go in by the sinner's door. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And then the publican was saved because he recognized God's estimate of sin. He saw what a terrible thing sin is in the sight of good God, and he stood afar off and smote his breast. Verse number 13. He acknowledged that God was the Holy One and that he was the unholy one, and condemned before God. You see, the Pharisee, what did he do? He compared himself with other men. And he failed to see his need. But the publican compared himself with God. And saw how poor and needy he was. And how far short of the mark he fell of the glory of God. So conscious was the publican of his sinfulness and unworthiness that he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But there he stood afar off, feeling his unworthiness and his condemnation and his sin before God. Here's the key. Have you recognized your sinnership before God? How many do we meet when we speak about this matter of sin? And they say, well, yes, I'm a sinner. Oh, yes, I'm a sinner. No doubt about that. I have sinned. But you see that fellow down the street, I'm not as bad as he is. Or I'm not as bad as that one over there. Compared to them, I'm not a bad fellow at all. But that's a fatal mistake. Men are always comparing themselves with men, when they ought to be comparing themselves with God. Because only when they seek to get a view of themselves in light of who God is, that they will begin to see sin as God sees it, and feel their own sinfulness and their need of the mercy of God. That's where it all starts. And I wonder, have you accepted God's estimate of sin? It's not mine, it's not yours, it's God's. God's estimate of sin. And have you accepted it not concerning someone else, but concerning yourself? And then the publican was saved because he pleaded the merit of the atoning sacrifice. He prayed, God be merciful to me, the sinner, verse 13. Now, as an instructed Jew, I want to stress this. No, he wasn't a Pharisee. But he was nonetheless an instructed Jew. And this publican, therefore, is not thinking of mere mercy. He's not asking God simply to turn a blind eye to his sin. That's not what he's asking when he says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He's not asking the Lord just to overlook his sin, because God cannot do that. If God be God, God cannot willy-nilly just say, well, okay, well, that's just between you and I, and we'll forget your sin. God can't do that. Sin must be atoned for. And so when he asked God to be merciful, he wasn't asking him for mere mercy alone. But what he had in view was this. He had in view the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And his prayer might be paraphrased in this way, be toward me as thou art when thou lookest upon the atoning blood. That's really what he was praying. In other words, he was crying to God, don't look on my sin. If you ever look on my sin, I'll be lost incurably and utterably in hell. Don't look on my sin, but cover my sin with the atoning blood of Christ. And on the basis of that covering, have mercy upon my soul. This is what he was praying. So he was really pleading for salvation on the merit of Calvary's finished work. That's what he was praying. And this is the only ground upon which anyone, anywhere, can ever be saved. On the basis of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Pharisee prayed something, I'm paraphrasing, I know, something in my hand I bring, simply to myself I cling. But the publican prayed, nothing in my hand I bring, simply and solely to thy cross I cling. Then finally, the publican was saved because he definitely asked God to save him. Wasn't it enough for him to see his sin? Wasn't it enough for him to see the holiness of God? It wasn't enough for him to see the perfect righteousness of Christ and the atoning blood of Christ. That's all wonderful. But the publican was saved ultimately, finally, because he definitely asked God to save him. His prayer, well, I suppose, for the benefit of older ones, was like a holy telegram. Those a little younger, his prayer was like a phone call. I always am amazed whenever I phone home across the Atlantic, thousands of miles, I punch in the number. And in a matter of a second or two, the phone rings on the other side of the Atlantic. Or we could say this publican sent out an email, electronic mail. Soon as the button was pressed, send, it was sent. But I tell you, the cry from the heart reaches heaven far more quickly. And as soon as this man cried for mercy, that got the attention of God, and mercy was granted on the basis of the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't reason tonight, if I'm going to be saved, then I will be saved. How many are in hell who reasoned that way? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved tonight, you would need to ask the Lord to save you. Simple as that. And if you do the asking, God will do the saving. When I was lost in the forest, I had to humble myself. And I had to ask somebody, look, I'm lost. Can you tell me the way out? And thankfully, the person knew their way out, were quite happy to help me. And it wasn't long before I was found again. But I had to ask. And you'll have to humble yourself tonight. And you'll have to enter in through the sinner's door, and you'll have to ask God to be merciful, for Christ's sake, to your heart and to your soul. I wonder tonight as we close, how many of you are going to return home condemned? And I wonder how many of you are going to return home justified? I don't know your heart. I hardly know my own. I know it's sinful. But I don't know where you stand before God. And I wonder tonight, maybe you've professed to be saved for many years. Or maybe you make no profession. How is it with your soul? Can you say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? Will you call out tonight, while others thou art calling, Lord, don't pass me by? Tonight, the grand message of the gospel is you may have come into this house condemned of God. You can leave this house justified, just as if you'd never sinned. Every sin can be blotted out. You can be given an eternal standing before God. You can be seen as righteous before God as the Lord Jesus Himself is. You can go home tonight a new creature in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You can go home justified. God, if you'll simply take your place, your rightful place as a sinner, seeking divine mercy, and mercy you'll find. And you'll receive a full and a free justification that can never be altered or changed. You can return home tonight justified in the sight of God. That's my prayer for you. That's the prayer of this church for you. And I trust that God will reach into your heart and soul tonight and save you by divine grace. Let's pray. Our gracious and our loving God, we give Thee thanks for the clear and the plain, simple message of the gospel. And we have sought to make the message clear, and we have sought to make the message plain. But, O God, we recognize that salvation is of the Lord. And having pleaded with men, we plead with Thee. And we pray that Christ in this place, this very hour, this very moment, may see of the travail of his soul in the salvation of some individual in need of God's saving grace. Speak now to hearts. Speak irresistibly. And answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.